Psalm 139, a really wonderful prayer King David prayed. And David concludes that people are fearfully and wonderfully made. And he really concludes that because he realizes God is fearful and wonderful. And so when the Lord's hand is on someone to touch them and create them, it's an amazing work that honors him. And so look through that psalm when you throughout this week. It's a great prayer to learn from and to learn about the Lord from. Notice the passion in the psalm too. A lot of, O Lord, O God, where, Lord, you're there, Lord. All kind of heartfelt trust expressed to our great God. So 3-year-old little girl named Sally went to visit her favorite aunt and uncle, Uncle Joe and Aunt Minnie. Everybody should have one of those. And they would have a wonderful time together throughout the day, but the day was done. Time to go to sleep. And when Sally would try to go to sleep, she couldn't go to sleep. Her mind was filled with anxious thoughts, fears. Sometimes you and I are like that. But she could not sleep. She would cry. I can't go to sleep. I'm afraid. She would let her aunt and uncle know. Why, Sally, can't you go to sleep? And Sally said, because there's a monster under my bed. There's a monster under my bed. And Aunt Minnie was very wise, and she hugged Sally and said, Sally, there's no monster under your bed. Do you know why? Because God is under your bed, Sally. He fills every inch under your bed. In fact, He fills this whole room. In fact, He fills this whole house and this whole world. And He loves you very much, and He's with you, Sally. And Aunt Minnie told Sally the truth, and Sally slept very well that night. And God's Word lets us know that He fills heaven and earth, and there's no place we can go where He is not there. Can anyone hide from me, says the Lord in Jeremiah? Am I not everywhere in all of heaven and earth? Don't I fill up heaven and earth? And so when we think of God's desired fellowship with us, certainly makes Himself available because of who He is. And we could have put our trust in Him all the time in the midst of our fears, anxieties, and uncertainties. Old-time Bible teachers used to call this teaching that God is everywhere. You probably heard the word omnipresence. They used another word too called the ubiquitous nature of God. I don't use that word hardly at all. I find it in the book, so I'm passing it on to you. Ubiquitous nature of God, that God is fully present everywhere equally. Now, that's something that only He could do. And it's one of the harder parts of His character for us to say, yeah, I trust what He says. Fully present everywhere equally. So you take the best moment in your life where you felt extremely wonderful about God. I think in a worship service like this, those moments will happen. And the singing helped that happen for us. Kira helped that happen. And, you know, we would say that I felt God was very, very close to me, and I felt close to Him. But God's Word would let us know, even when we don't notice Him, when we have doubts about Him, when we're fearful and think, monsters are taking over my life. He is there as close to us as He was in the times when we were most joyful, happy, peaceful, and loving. He is fully present everywhere, all the time, equally. And that's something that increases our trust in Him. And so He's in Irwin as much as He is in McKeesport, as much as He is in Ukraine and in Ecuador and in Beijing and where all the missionaries go. Rachel Wilson doesn't go to Ecuador unless she feels like God's going to be there to labor with her. And so He's with you and with me where we go. God is wonderfully omnipresent. And we talked about in the past, sometimes it's okay to talk about God in terms of Him being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, His great closeness to us. We could say, well, in terms of, if we were think about him in space, which is beyond space, but we live in space, and so here we are. God the Father above us, God the Son beside us, God the Holy Spirit all around us and within us if we've received Christ. Really, the better Bible way to think of that is God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit above us. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit beside us, and God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit within us. He's everywhere, equally present for us to yield our lives to and to know Him and to honor Him in that way. Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? King David says. He thinks about all these difficult places he would be, the far side of the sea, somewhere high, God would be there. Somewhere near death itself, you know, God would be there. You go to the funeral home, you don't want to be there. Don't want to say goodbye to your loved one in that manner. People come to give you comfort. You thank God for heaven, how He conquers death. But God is fully present there as much as He is in any part of your life you felt 100% alive about. And so God's faithfulness, that His Holy Spirit fills the whole earth, and we could put our trust in Him and follow Him then in any given moment. A well-known Bible teacher once said that one of the best promises God gives is that I bring you forgiveness. And that's something our heart desperately needs every day. Lord, forgive us our debts, like we pass on the forgiveness. We forgive our debtors. And the man lowered through the roof of the home who was paralyzed, and Jesus said, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." And He says that to our soul every day. You know, when we feel like sin's wiping us out, take heart. I gave my life for you. You could have forgiveness. Take heart, son, sins are forgiven. That's a great, reliable promise. We rest heaven on that promise, the confidence of heaven. But the most frequent promise in the Bible, it's been said, is the promise, "I will be with you." Most frequent promise of the Bible, about 280 times. God says that in one form or another to people who are desperately wondering, is he with me? Or is the monster going to take over my life? And so, "I will be with you." Frequent examples in the Bible. Jesus said, "Surely I'm with you always to the end of the age." That's one. Going from Genesis on, God says to Abraham, "I'm your shield. I'm your with you protection." And God tells Jacob in a dream, "I am with you. I will watch over you wherever you go." So even Jacob, rascal Jacob, trying to run his own life, God says, "I'm with you. I'm with you to watch over you." To Moses, right after God's people rebelled, worshiped the golden calf, God tells Moses, I will be with you, and I will give you rest." So when you're surrounded by sin, when you feel like the whole world has gone after the golden calf, you know, or your own soul has been won over by the golden calf, God says, "Hey, I'm here. I am with you. Only I can give you rest." Put our trust in Him. The promise continues. Tells Joshua, "Have no fear, be of courage. I'll be with you wherever you go." Jesus picks up the promise. He says, "I'm not going to leave you orphans. I will come to you. And I'll give you another counselor just like me, the Spirit of Truth. He will be with you and live in you." So the wonderful presence of God that He would give to our hearts. David put it this way: "Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Your right hand will hold me fast." There's a song written in 2013 about God holding us when we feel like, well, I don't know if I could stay trusting Him with the life that is before me. The song goes like this: "I can never keep my hold through life's fearful path." That is His hold on God. "For my love is often cold. God must hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, He will hold me fast." and a great promise about the character of God that will grow our faith and our obedience. He'll hold us fast. I never feared a monster under my bed. When I was little, I feared snakes. There's probably a snake under there. Alligators sometimes. And if you go to Florida, you should really check for snakes and alligators. They could be under your bed. So you check for those. But the fears that we do have, and God would say, I am here. And if you face those fears, I will be with you. Fears of health loss. It hits pretty much everybody. Health loss. Some very serious, some just chronically painful. Fear of terrorism. Oh, no, unexpected violence. Fear of the dentist. Hopefully you face that once a year. There. Or gladness. Fear of church. I don't want to go to church. I don't know the people. I don't know what the guy's talking about. I don't know the music. The whole thing freaks me out. I'm afraid of church. Some people, that's often why people don't come to worship God. There's a fear there. Hopefully you come because you respect and fear God with a trust. Oh, he's number one. Other things people fear, commitment. Wonderful song if you were planning a wedding, you know. I don't know, how do you get that song played at a wedding that Kira sang? But not afraid of commitment. We sometimes are afraid of commitment to spouse, to God's work, to Him personally, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. God says, you know, and it goes for all of us. All of us are a little bit afraid of commitment. There's one person not afraid of commitment, and that's Jesus. He says, I am 100% in. I'm giving my life for the sins of the whole world and for my beloved rebellious children. And so that's the Lord. And then the fear also of what happens after we die. We can take it to the bank, and some people say, well, you can book it. You can go to Las Vegas and book it. The odds that you will die, 100 out of 100. Okay? You could book it. Now, we're thankful for the rapture, and we leave that to the Lord. But we'll say, all of us in the room are going to face that fear. Okay? Near the end. What we'll be feeling. And so forth. And what will happen next. And Jesus said He's the resurrection and the life. That's more sure than even the sureness of our own death. And we can have joy facing the future. God's Spirit around us, within us, helping us follow Him. Some implications of that. His Holy Spirit dwells within. His presence makes me new. That means we can be as thankful and obedient to God as any time in our life that we have been. Right at that moment. Because He's still there. He's faithful. And this very important one, I think, is played out in the gospel itself, that you are close to God because of who He is, not because of what you've done or learned or experienced. Some people feel they're close to God because of the particular church they go to. That would be rather Muslim of them to feel that way. Okay? Some people feel if I just learn the Bible a little bit more, I will be closer to God. God has been close to you since you existed there. And life is a lot more pleasant if you wake up to that truth. But you are no more closer to God when you read the Bible for 12 hours as when you don't read the Bible at all. He's still there. And you're capable of putting your trust in Him. Or experienced. Our relationship with the Lord in terms of the good news is like we feel like there's a hedge between us and God. And our job is to get through that hedge by some experience, by some knowledge, by some prayer, by something. Got to break through the hedge. That's not the Bible. That's not the gospel. The gospel is God is on, He sees the hedge. He comes through the hedge And he says, here, it's my hedge, and it's I'm on both sides of the hedge. And I've broken through to offer myself to you. And so God fully present to us, that we might trust Him, love Him all the days of our life. Not based on what we do, learn, or experience. Based on who He is. The great promise of His Word and His character. So save yourself a lot of religious heartache knowing the goodness of God there. Of course, we don't always recognize God. That's a human trait. Paul Tripp, a Christian leader, said, I wish I could always say I'm aware of God's presence. I can't. It's okay, God's still there. The silence of God, Mother Teresa said, is so great. I look and don't see Him. I listen and don't hear. That's true too. That'll happen to us. That'll happen to us sometimes in the middle of a church service. Sometimes I'm preaching about the Lord and I feel like God's not near me, not near none of you all, and not in the building. And all those three are not true. His presence is everywhere, equally full. Not based on our bifocals, but based on His great love. And so, some implications that we could walk with. Everywhere you are is holy ground, because surely the presence of the Lord is in that place. Now again, we're much more happy and much more obedient when we recognize that, but it's a holy place to live, where God is and He's everywhere, so everywhere is holy. So whether you're in a wonderful church service, praising Him, whether you're in the checkout line, taking a long time, in traffic, in the emergency room, meeting with the cancer surgeon, it's holy ground. Okay. You don't have to go to Mecca to feel close to God or some other spot. You can feel close to God because He's surely in that place. And another wonderful implication, the Holy Spirit's more prevalent and present in the world than sin and evil is. Because God is so faithful, and there wherever we go, the world can't out-sin God's forgiveness. Okay, and the devil can't overrun God with his rebellion. God is God. And there is no other. And we can go through the world with confidence and trust, not looking for an escape route, thinking, you know, if let me just hang around with Christians and do certain things that kind of keep me from evil. But to know, hey, God is permeates everything. We live in a God-saturated world, and He's dealing with the sin and evil that is there all around us and even in our own soul. So have confidence in God's wonderful presence. And the last point, greatest moments in your life is when you realize God is there with you. That can make every moment a great moment. And I know for myself, a lot of great moments are with God's people. When we do praise Him or look in His Word or just talk to each other, you know, minister to each other. But some of the greatest moments in my life are I'm just doing something simple as, you know, picking up dirty clothes. helping my wife with the groceries that she wisely bought, you know. And it's like, yeah, God is in this moment. This is a blessing. And we can be thankful in those moments. So for you and I to know God's Holy Spirit fills the whole earth, the question is, do you want Him to fill you? Fill you by being in step with Him, by yielding to Him, by saying, oh Lord, I trust You in this moment. You know, He'll help you very much. And His desire is for you. He delights in you. So might we put our trust in God as we follow Him and rejoice in Him throughout His wonderful creation. May His glory fill the whole earth. and we acknowledge Him often and obey Him as often. Let's pray together. Lord, it's easier to trust You when You break through the hedge for us, and we don't have to trust in having a certain experience, having a certain amount of learning we have accomplished, doing certain things that we feel, well, we did this, so this makes us closer to God. But rather, it's a lot easier to trust You in the truth of it, that You've come and there's no place You even have to go, that You're there to reach out for us in who You are, dear Lord, the person of Your Son, the person of Your Spirit, just drawing us to Yourself. Pray that we would rejoice in that goodness of God. You do fearful and wonderful things in our lives because we can't get away from You, nor do we desire to. So help us to have mercy on ourselves, mercy on others, as You reveal more and more Yourself to Your dear children, recovering sinners, but loved by God with an everlasting love. Bless each one here. Bring us back tonight for a wonderful time of praise and testimony. We anticipate this holy time this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.